This lecture is designed as a basic introduction to the concepts and the vocabulary involved in the metabolism of fuel molecules such as sugars and fats. This diagram attempts to show the way in which the complex food molecules that we eat are broken down and then reformed into the molecules that make up our own tissues and structures. The top left of the diagram are shown the complex food molecules, and as the downward arrows beneath them show, these complex molecules are broken down by enzyme-catalyzed pathways in the body, with either the bond energy being released to form useful energy, which can then be used to drive processes such as movement, contraction, or transport, or to drive the synthesis of complex molecules. During this process, much of the bond energy is lost as heat, and although this may seem wasteful, this heat helps to maintain our own body temperatures at about 37 degrees. Following the downward arrows on the left, we can see some of the complex molecules are broken down to the basic building units, such as amino acids and sugars, and then the arrows on the right going upwards show how the creating pathways, the anabolic, the building up pathways, can reform these basic building blocks into the complex proteins and other polymers that constitute our own body tissue. Before we start, it's useful to have a general definition. And metabolism can be defined as the series of enzyme reactions within cells for converting fuel molecules into useful energy. This is a slightly narrow definition, and we can broaden it by saying metabolism involves the enzyme reactions of synthesis and the breakdown and the interconversion of essential biomolecules. In general, metabolism can be divided into those pathways that involve the breakdown of molecules, they're known as catabolic reactions or catabolism, and pathways for the building up of complex molecules, that's known as anabolism or anabolic pathways. It's easy to tell which pathways fall into one or other of these categories because the ending of the name gives an indication. Pathways ending in lysis mean that the enzyme reactions break down complex molecules. Three examples are shown here on the left. Glycolysis is the pathway for the breaking down of glucose into simpler molecules such as lactic acid or pyruvate. Lipolysis, the pathway for the breakdown of complex stored lipid in the body into simpler fats. And then glycogenolysis, the pathway for the breakdown of stored glycogen in the liver to release glucose units that can go into the bloodstream. In general, these pathways generate the high energy cofactors such as ATP and NADH, and in general, these pathways occur in the mitochondrial compartment of cells, although glycolysis is different in taking place in the cytosolic compartment of the cell. On the right, we can see some pathways that are involved in anabolism, and these names end in the word genesis, meaning creation. Three examples of pathways: gluconeogenesis, the enzyme reactions for the building up of glucose from simpler molecules in the body, such as lactic acid; lipogenesis, the process for the building up of complex lipids from excess calories in the diet; and glycogenesis, the building up of glycogen, which is stored in liver and in muscle, using glucose units from the bloodstream. In general, these pathways require energy to drive them in the forward direction, so these pathways use high energy cofactors such as ATP, adenosine triphosphate, GTP, guanosine triphosphate, or UTP, that's uridine triphosphate, and in general, these pathways occur in the cytosolic compartment of the cell. Although the different pathways, such as glycolysis and the TCA cycle, occur in different parts of the cell, the enzymes of these pathways are closely coordinated in their action, and we call this integration, the way that one metabolic pathway talks, as it were, to the reactions of another pathway. So for the breakdown of glucose, we need the two reactions, two sets of enzyme pathways, glycolysis followed by the TCA cycle, which together convert glucose to carbon dioxide, its final end product. A biochemist would write this in terms of a reaction, so we have here Glucose, represented by 6 carbon atoms, 12 hydrogen atoms, and 6 oxygen atoms, that it reacts with 6 molecules of oxygen gas. And at the completion of both of these pathways, the final product will be 6 molecules of carbon dioxide, 6 molecules of water, and approximately 30 molecules of the high-energy cofactor ATP will have been produced. And both pathways are required for the complete oxidation of glucose to yield the maximum amount of energy. And by this way, glucose provides energy for tissues such as muscle, kidney, and brain. Now, textbooks are full of summary diagrams. On the whole, these are of two types. Biochemistry textbooks tend to show summary diagrams of the pathways with individual enzyme reactions, the names of the intermediates, and showing the chemical links to other main metabolic processes. Cell biology textbooks, on the whole, tend to show diagrams with the locations of the main metabolic pathways without too much detail of the names or structures of the intermediates. One way of looking at metabolism is to say that the metabolism of the three main classes of fuel molecules, that's sugars, fats, and amino acids, occurs in three stages, as indicated here by the horizontal lines dividing this diagram up into three stages. The first stage of metabolism of glucose takes place by the glycolysis pathway, and glucose is converted to the end product pyruvate. Later on, we'll discuss the way in which the pyruvate is converted to a smaller molecule, 2-carbon unit acetate or acetyl-CoA. In the second stage of metabolism, the 2-carbon unit acetyl-CoA enters a pathway known as the Krebs cycle or the TCA cycle, and here the 2-carbon atoms end up as the waste product carbon dioxide gas. During this process, pairs of hydrogen atoms are removed from the fuel molecule, and these enter the third and last stage of metabolism, oxidative phosphorylation. Here, the pairs of hydrogen atoms are combined with oxygen to form the waste product water, and during this process, several molecules of ATP are synthesized from ADP. If we go back to the top of the diagram, we can see how the first stages of the breakdown of fatty acids and amino acids also gives rise to the 2-carbon unit acetyl-CoA, and this can enter the second and third stages of metabolism, so that these last two stages are common to the three main fuel classes. Now, this diagram shows part of a cell structure. At the top, we have the outer cell membrane, sometimes known as the sarcolemma, which separates the extracellular fluid, which is in contact with the bloodstream, from the contents of the cell. And in this diagram, we can see the two main classes of fuel molecules, fatty acids entering the cell down their concentration gradient, and glucose molecules also entering the cell, but entering through transporter molecules. Now, many of the stages of metabolism take place inside other subcellular organelles within the cell, and at the bottom of the diagram was a representation of the outer and inner membranes of mitochondria. Now, this shows how the fatty acids, which are carried in the bloodstream from adipose tissue to all the other tissues of the body, fatty acids, because of their hydrophobic nature, have the chemical properties that they can slip easily between the phospholipids making up the cell membrane and diffuse freely into the cell down their concentration gradient. Glucose, on the other hand, is a polar molecule, soluble in water, and when it arrives in the bloodstream, glucose can enter the cell, but only if there are transporter proteins, represented here by these rather vague structures in the membrane. By entering through the transporter in molecules, glucose can enter the cell, again down a concentration gradient. This is an enlarged diagram showing the membranes of the mitochondria to show that some of the later stages of metabolism involve enzymes that are present both in the inner compartment, the matrix of the mitochondria, but also proteins that are embedded in the inner mitochondrial membrane. And these details will be discussed in the later lectures when the TCA cycle and oxidative phosphorylation are discussed.